This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
With those narratives gone, Josh Allen can just run the offense, and he's not getting bored with the checkdowns. I mean, I love that against Jacksonville. You know, I think these quarterbacks, it's hard for them. They want to make these big-time throws down the field. But Tom Brady's going to go in the Hall of Fame and be known as the greatest quarterback of all time, because you know what he did for 20 years? Just took what the defense gave him and did the smart, right thing with the football. And you're seeing in the Jacksonville game, they're dialing up play-action passes. Jacksonville's taking away the deep stuff. And Josh Allen checks it down to James Cook on 1st and 10 on a play-action pass. He gets 17 yards. There's nothing boring about that at all. That's good offense. That's smart.
Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast. Find that in our 7:30 segment. We chatted with Joe. That play to Cook, one of the ones, the first play of the game, rail route for the running back for James Cook. Benjamin Solak of ESPN did a side-by-side, or one after the other, I should say, breakdown of the Bills and the Jaguars trying to run the same play. And the Bills running it perfectly, and the Jaguars not doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically pointed out, like, this is coaching.
Yeah.
That the Bills are coached well, and the Jaguars are missing things, and it's small things, and here are the Bills executing a play perfectly, and the Jaguars are kind of lost.
We were talking about this on the TV show last night. I think there's a lot of tremendous coaching going around with this football team right now.
Yeah.
Not just Joe Brady. I know everybody's talking about him and his game plan the other night, but what McDermott and Babbitt are doing with, I mean, really, there are 7 starters from last season that are not on the roster right now. 3 are injured, 4 left in the offseason. 7 guys, and they're giving up 16 points a game. And two touchdowns in the last 10 quarters. One was garbage time. I think there's a lot of great coaching going on with this team right now.
Baltimore this week. Both these teams got out so big that their games were kind of only half games. Baltimore did that to Dallas. Baltimore ran on Dallas. The Cowboys, what?
They almost blew it at the end.
Like to let teams back.
They really came close. The Cowboys like are a couple plays away from winning that football game.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, it was a 22-point lead in the third quarter.
The Cowboys have given up more on the ground in the first 3 games than any team in 70 years.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, no, their defense, woof.
What was that game like 70 years ago? Do you remember?
We joke about that.
Is that when you learned running the football is important?
3 yards. I coined 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I don't know if you guys know that. I don't know. I'm not George Halas. George Halas and I were buddies.
Howard's first job actually was a rules analyst alongside Howard Cosell.
I was the replay guy in the booth. Yes. Except there were no replays.
Right.
We would have stick figures and a little chalkboard, and
they'd have like a sketch artist that would like drop each play, and you'd go back and look at it.
Look, the ball's out.
Right.
Howard's going to pick the Bills shortly. Jeremy and Joe with Buffalo broadcast Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Howard Simon.
Thank you for being there, by the way.
Had a good time at your induction.
It was nice to see you there.
Nice to be there.
Did I make you cry?
No. You didn't make me cry.
Nuts!
But you also didn't make me mad, but I do want to say something. You're up there getting an award, and you are unable to take any credit for yourself. All you did was talk about like how great everybody else was. Like, you know, you did some good things.
Nobody succeeds by themselves.
No, I know. But I wanted to shout at you, take some credit for something.
My name's on the award.
It's true. That's true.
I mean, I don't like to talk about myself. Anyway, I was saying before we get started in the picks, you know, I've been seeing a lot of pictures of you and your kids. You're having a good time. You're out at the Bison's game. Run the bases, right?
Yep.
That's cool.
The Bison season ended. We ran the bases. This is how Like, you know,
it's not Aurora, just the other two.
No. Yeah, okay. Rory didn't run. Dillian Knox did.
Nice.
This is where, like, as a parent, you start to learn. It's about the process. You know, like a young quarterback. And then the light goes on.
Yeah.
So my wife and I, for Run the Bases at the Bisons, what do? We got to the game like an hour and a half late. Like, we can't get these kids to sit here for 3 hours and then
wait to run.
Because if you're doing Run the Bases, you're locked into the end of the game.
Oh, yeah.
So let's eat a couple of innings at home and then show up for the game. You know, they had balloon animals and braids
and
stuff.
They'd all be asking through the entire game, is it time to run the bases yet?
Pretty much. And thanks to Brad Bisping of the Bisons, who I texted and I said, let's see inside information. When should I go line up to run the
bases? Because you got to go out into the outfield and wait in line.
And it was great. They loved it. It brought joy to my heart to watch them run around the bases.
Awesome.
It was awesome.
Very cool.
So, yeah, Bisons game was fun. We're getting into Sabre season. They love going to Sabre season. They always want to go to the Bills games.
Yeah. Oh.
But we're like,
maybe.
Not yet. Kids' Day games, sure.
Are they feeling good about the Sabres ending the drought this year?
Yes, they're very excited about JJ the Turkey. That's his name, JJ the Turkey. They know
Turkey?
Tage Thompson, and now we've introduced JJ the Turkey.
It's close enough. I could see how they might hear that.
I mean, that's what it is for me now.
Right. I'm not going to get that out of my head now.
JJ the Turkey.
I'm expecting Dan Dunleavy's going to change his goal call.
Gobble, gobble!
have they taken a stab at Uka Pekka Luukkonen yet, by the way?
Goodness. No, I got to work on that. They did take a shot at Henry Jokke Harju.
Oh.
But Uka Pekka Luukkonen will
get there.
That's
going to major leagues when you get to UPL.
Yeah. All right, you're going to pick the Bills.
Yeah.
First, some thoughts on the Bills, who, I mean, your basement Bills bunker would have been.
I tell you what, stress free.
You're making Mai Tais. Feet up.
I actually came up and watched a little bit of the game with my wife.
Wow. Were they up 34 when you did that?
It was pretty much over at that point.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me. I thought about the 51-3 game because at halftime I started putting my article together. I thought, all right, this game's over. I can just start writing my notes.
Yeah.
And just put the article. I mean, this was. Thank you very much to the Bills for providing, for the most part, stress-free games for the last game and a half. I mean, it's really, right? Early third quarter, the Miami game was over. And this thing was over right away.
The second quarter of the Miami game was a party, pretty much,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, it was close in the first, right? Wasn't it 7-7, I think?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not telling you to plan the Super Bowl parade, but considering we were worried about this game because they played dog games against a Jags team they're usually better than, to do what they did, good for them. I mean, they just crushed it, which is great to see.
Well,
you had some updated artwork too, right, in the basement? The Josh Allen poster?
Oh, that's in the family room.
That's in the family room.
Yeah, that's
okay.
That was where my wife watches the games. Yeah, she broke out Monday.
That was for her then, not for...
She bought it, and she had it right out right before the game on Monday. So it's now, it's in a very nice place with the television, and it's there for good.
Okay. All right. Well, there's
good luck charm. It's 1-0.
There you go. It's no pressure. I mean, people are going to expect some big things. By the way, before we get to you picking the Bills, I'd like to point out that during training camp, Joe and I put a poll up and we asked, what would be better? The Bills going 17-0 or 15-2?
Oh, people vote 15-2.
Yes.
Yeah, they would freak out if they were 17-0.
If you pick a couple of losses, I want you to know that those people are happy about
those.
Okay,
good.
They're not mad. They'd rather be 15-2. A large chunk would rather be 15-2.
Yeah. Yeah, because 17-0, all that pressure, you're unbeaten, it doesn't happen. What happened to the Patriots?
I mean, you could do what the Patriots couldn't.
That would be nice.
That would be pretty nice.
Yeah.
I'll take 17-0. All right, let's do it. Howard picks the Bills.
A tradition unlike any other.
Dear football gods, I will pick the Bills to win this game. Not with great confidence, but I will pick the Bills to win this game.
It's time for Howard to pick the Bills!
There's a little voice in my head that says 9-6. You know, they tend to have dog games against this club.
Against these cats.
I will take the Bills to win this game.
Cook gets the handoff, going to try to get the corner. He's got it to the 5 and to the front pylon. He's in for a touchdown. Takes the handoff to Cook. Pressure coming. Fires down the right side, looking for Coleman. He's got it, and he's into the end zone. The rookie with his first touchdown as a pro. Here's the snap, fakes the handoff. Going to roll to his left, has time, throws deep over the middle. He overshoots Thomas, intercepted by DeMar Hamlin.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Okay, time for Howard to pick the Bills. Also, by the way, reverse AFC power rankings today because of the, and the first time in a long time, you know, pollsters or exit pollers are indicating that perhaps the Bills will be on top of the reverse AFC power rankings that the afternoon show does. So, all right, Howard, Bills, Ravens, Sunday Night Football. I think I'm making chili. I decided I'm going to make chili. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be
Old Bay chili.
I don't know about that.
No crab cakes.
Crab cake, Old Bay chili.
I don't want to do that.
Sounds nasty.
Bills, Ravens, 8:20 Sunday.
You know, Baltimore, obviously, I still don't know how they lost to Vegas, but they looked good for, what, 2.5 or 3 quarters of the game against Dallas. Hang on. Pardon me. They ran the ball with success. I'll tell you what, though. Tough game, obviously. Baltimore's good. Night game, all that stuff. First to three straight on the road. Two things that I like about this. Statistically, when McDermott's teams have played Lamar Jackson, they've done a pretty good job of keeping him in check. Same deal. Save for what? Maybe one game against Derrick Henry? One or two? Was it the Josh Norman game where he went bananas crazy? I'll take the Bills to win this game. I'll say somehow McDermott is able to do a good job against the Ravens offense, and I'll say the Bills will win.
Stat for you that Sal had yesterday. The Ravens have given up 16 pass plays of 20 yards or more. That's the most in the league. They played the Chiefs, the Raiders, and the Cowboys.
Yeah. Good.
So
let's hope there's a few more.
I think the Bills are going to eat
good
on Sunday. All right, you got a win over the Ravens at Houston.
Yeah, look, I don't think, spoiler alert, I don't think they're going to win all three road games. It's really hard. It's rare to play three straight road games. This, the Bills are doing it for the first time in 9 years.
Is this their first trip to Houston since the playoff game?
Yes, right?
Yeah.
When was
the one before that was
Peterman?
EJ Manuel, JJ Watt?
No, Peterman threw a pick six.
Oh, I don't remember.
With like a minute left.
And then he threw an amazing touchdown pass.
No, I think the amazing touchdown came first.
And then a pick six.
And then he had the ball with a chance to win it and immediately threw a pick six.
That's right. Okay.
And the very quick story on that, I'm producing the game. Mike Shope is in here. I'm ahead by 5 seconds because of the delay. So I have just heard the pick six in my ears. Before seeing it, Mike goes, "This is going to be a watch. This is going to be a pick." And I'm trying to hide my emotion, and it was a pick. That was the last time they were there in the regular season.
They didn't look good the other day in Minnesota, but I do think it's a difficult game. I like C.J. Stroud. I think they've got really good skill players, and I think their defense will look better than it did against Sam Darnold and the Vikings. I think it's a really difficult game for the Bills. I will take Houston to win.
Houston wins. Man.
First loss of the year.
The Takepocalypse. You know what? I feel like if
so much for 17.
If Houston wins, there won't be a take pocket. Well, maybe there will. Who knows? Anyway, okay. Houston win. Jets back in prime time.
Yeah, and look,
Monday Night Football.
It would be hard for their offense not to be better than what it was with Zach Wilson, Mike White, whoever else they've been trotting out, Darnold and company.
But it's better.
It is better.
And they have two good backs. Braylon Allen is good.
Yeah, and they have outstanding their overall skill talent. Obviously, Garrett Wilson comes to mind. Is really good, and there are two things that trouble me about this matchup. One, Josh statistically has not fared well against the Jets' defenses. Two, it is the last three straight on the road. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go with the Jets' history here and say the Jets will start Jetsing at some point, and I'll take the Bills to win the game.
Bills over Jets due to the Jetsing. Bills home Titans.
Is Will Levis still the quarterback?
Let's hope. I said to Joe yesterday,
he is fun to watch.
No matter what, I need him to quarterback in this league for a decade.
Because you don't know exactly what crazy play he's going to produce.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
His mistakes are like, he makes them up in his head. Like, they're not mistakes you see from other people.
I saw, might have been Stephen Ruiz, who does, you know, quarterback rankings for The Ringer, said there is some stuff in Levis's game that suggests he can make it.
Oh, yeah.
He
can look good on one drive and lead a touchdown drive, and then the next drive,
he's nuts.
Make one of those plays where you go, "What are you thinking?"
He's nuts.
But that's why he's fun to watch.
He's got to stay. And he better be playing in that game.
I'll take
because
the Bills to win.
What do you think he's going to do when he watches Josh Allen jump over a dude? He's going to go. He did it last week. He tried to jump over three players, 10 yards behind the line. Yeah.
Yes.
I'll take the Bills to
Bills over Levis. Seahawks undefeated still to this point. Seattle. It's a road game against Seattle. And I saw a clip of their head coach, Mike McDonald's his name, right?
Yeah.
Talking about defense in today's game. It's a big, long thing. Somebody asked him like an X's and O's question. And he talked about, if you can stop the run with split safeties, you're in good shape. And I thought, this guy goes, I mean, whatever, it's not exactly a secret, but that's the Bills, that's McDermott forever. Mm-hmm. We're going to play split safeties, and we're going to stop the run because our nickel corner is going to be really such good. Yeah. Our corners are going to... I mean, the Bills occasionally have been beaten in the run game, but not much. They're a team that stops the run with split safeties for 8 years.
Right.
And Mike McDonald kind of lives that same life. Like, he broke it down. It's kind of interesting to hear him talk about it.
I am going to pick a win this time.
Wow.
I know I've had that as a loss. Less about Seattle, more about fourth road game in 5 weeks, West Coast trip. I'll turn it around for now, and let's make that a win.
Win. Boy, this Bills-Jets game is going to be huge when it happens. I'm looking at some of the coverage.
7-1.
7-1. Home Dolphins.
Win. I mean, the Dolphins are trying to figure out if they should play Tim Boyle or Tyler Huntley this week.
How does Tim Boyle still have a job in the National Football League? It does not make any sense at all.
McDaniel took a question yesterday about whether or not he should give up play calling duties.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's turning fast then.
And, right. He said, listen, I know that this question's supposed to come, but it's like, if you're him, you're like, hold on a minute, all right? You're the number one offense in the league last year. We might not have beat playoff teams. I should give up play calling?
Like, give me a minute with the backups here, maybe. But
if you could fault them on anything, it's for not having a quarterback behind Tua in the event of injury who would be better equipped to run the scheme they run. I mean, Tua gets the ball out fast. He makes his read. He gets it out. He gives it to guys in stride. The other guys can't do that. So if you're going to fault McDaniels, it's... what your backup plan was, and do you have to change the offense to fit the guys not named Tua Tagovailoa?
Well, let's see what they are with Huntley, because I think he's going to get in there.
He played in Baltimore.
He is a respectable backup in the league. I do not think they had a respectable backup before this.
I mean, how many teams do? Four?
They might have had the worst backup situation in the league.
Andy Dalton made Carolina better. Darnold's playing well. They were backups.
Those are two of the good backups.
Yeah.
They're only like four good backups.
They might have been 32nd, though, in backup situation. Yeah. They were horrible behind Tua.
All right, Bills at Colts.
Let's see. Win.
Win. Bills hosting the Chiefs. What's their record in this game?
I mean, they are...
they got one.
They
loss.
Are 8-1.
8-1 hosting the Chiefs. We're talking win it.
9-1.
9-1 hosting the Chiefs.
Well, far be it for me to ruin the party. I'll take the Bills to beat Kansas City.
10-1. Sunday night football against the Niners.
Hey, there's got to be a bump on the road every now and then. I'll take San Francisco to come in here and win.
Yeah, I mean, come on. That's fine. That's
I'll take San Christian Francisco McCaffrey's German calf replacements be a part of this game? He's not actually getting a calf replacement. He's just going in Germany getting, you know, attention.
I wonder if he's done for the diagnosis.
Yeah, I mean, it's right. And,
he's in Europe.
Well, Kittle will be back, right? Debo Samuel's been getting hurt a lot the last couple of years. But we'll see. I'll take San Francisco for now.
Bills-Rams. This is a game that I want to say, no matter what happens, you should be predicting a win. No matter what. If the Bills' defensive line is healthy, the Rams...
unless they're missing, like, three-star players like the Niners
Rams
did.
The Rams' offensive line is...
trash.
Then again, they did beat the Niners.
I was going to say, you said the same thing last week, and they won.
Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, and Debo Samuel.
Shouldn't matter. The Rams' offensive line can't protect, and the Niners were up big in that game, and somehow Kyle Shanahan blew it.
I'll take the Bills.
Bills. Okay, Bills-Lions.
I'm going to flip that around, and I was down on Detroit after Tampa. I'm going to go back a little bit pro-Detroit here and take the Lions.
Lions win over the Bills. Patriots at Bills. Honeymoon's over.
My goodness. Yeah, right? I mean, they're playing Drake May at that point, aren't they? But it doesn't matter. They'll beat the Patriots.
Win over the Patriots. Home Jets.
They will sweep the Jets.
Bills have 3 losses at this point.
Yes.
That's probably a game that we're feeling like locks up the 1 seed.
In week 17?
Yes. To have 3 losses.
Well, and they would have beaten Kansas City.
You don't think someone's got 4 and it's still alive with tiebreaker? Well, no, they would have the tiebreaker.
They would have beaten over Baltimore and Kansas City.
And they would
have New England to finish.
If Houston's really good, that could be a problem because they would be losing to Houston in my picks.
Or but Pittsburgh.
Anyway, Pittsburgh's so phony.
Bills-Patriots.
Bills.
Okay.
Is that 14-3? Well...
that's got to be the 1 seed.
You've pointed out many times the last few seasons they go 3-6, 3-6 on how many losses they have.
Yeah.
They're due for a 3.
They're due? You know, I said last night, I really think this is a really tough stretch, these next 3 games. I still believe they're making the playoffs. I still believe they're winning the division. What would change is if they can go 2-1, now we're talking one seed. And I was not thinking this team was capable of a one seed going into the season. But if they're 5-1 coming out of this stretch, yeah, let's talk one seed and go back where we used to be with the Bills, like best team in the conference discussion, best team in the league discussion. And they're doing it with key guys hurt on defense.
Yeah. More injuries likely to come. Those guys will come back. We'll see how it goes. The Sabres are off to Europe. At NHL.com, Owen Power is blogging about this trip. I think he might continue to the Global Series blog. And there's not much in here from Power, other than he points out that it's going to be an 8-hour flight. I will have no problem sleeping almost the entire time.
How does he do that?
They're going at night.
Doesn't matter. I can never sleep on planes. Never.
I know. 8 hours you can sleep. Going in to be able to say an 8-hour flight, I'll probably sleep the whole time, is amazing to me.
Wow. I mean, I might sleep maybe 15 minutes. I just can't do it on planes, buses, trains, doesn't matter. That's incredible. Why aren't you guys doing your morning show in Europe?
It's a good question.
In Prague or Munich?
We'd get to sleep in.
Oh, that's right. Like time
an afternoon
difference.
Show over there.
Yeah, that would be great, actually, yeah.
He also says that when it comes to this trip, they don't really he doesn't know what they're going to do. They're pretty much just going to follow J.J. Paterka around.
J.J. the Turkey.
The Turkey, right, because he's from Munich. Yeah.
I already got a text from someone you know as well who said he heard J.J. the Turkey and he's laughing. He thought it was great.
J.J. the Turkey.
I think that's fantastic.
J.J. the Turkey.
Paterka might not be thrilled with it.
I think his nickname should be Turks.
Turks.
Or Turkey.
J.J. the Turkey.
Maybe Turkey.
He doesn't have. He should get a nickname.
Oh, you know,
he's the type of player who should have a nickname.
He could be in the what's the the animals when they take sports names and they
superstars.
Yeah, he could be a
JJ the Turkey.
Is
there you
a
go.
Superstar.
That's perfect.
Yeah,
JJ the Turkey,
a big turkey with a hockey stick and a helmet. Okay,
listen, he's a heck of a player, and the Sabres should lock him up as soon as they can.
But could you hand out another contract extension?
Sign him on the plane.
But I wonder if the organization is a little bit hesitant to do that because they've done it with so many
guys,
and maybe they worry. Are we getting what we need out of these guys once they are immediately guaranteed 8 years of contract? No. I just wonder.
Yeah, I mean, Cousins didn't have a great year last year, and he's got the big deal, taken care of. But whatever. Anyway,
Paterka's great.
Nice to see you, boys.
Nice to see you too. Big tour today?
Big tour today. Bus tour, bus group today from somewhere.
You had a bunch of Chiefs fans recently?
Yesterday.
How'd that go?
Not well.
Are they nervous?
No.
Do they miss Travis Kelce?
Are they nervous?
Since he retired.
They're not nervous, and they did point out the fact that the Chiefs have won some Super Bowls and beat the Bills along the way. At which point, I kicked them off the tour and threatened to throw them in the falls.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Well,
Thanks, Howard.
All right, fellas.
Paul Hamilton, when we return, we'll get the check in on the Sabres preseason because they're playing really well. They're also, of course, headed over to Europe. They're already there because they've got the Global Series, two games against the Devils, revenge games for Lindy, and an opportunity to kind of start the season fast. So we'll check in with Paul on a training camp that's not like the others. That's coming.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Up next.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Paul Hamilton on some Sabres chatter. His appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, good. The Sabres are, Paul, I'm getting a lot of texts, a lot of people asking me if the preseason pledge, which we apply to football, applies to hockey, because the Sabres are a wagon in the preseason.
Yeah, well, don't forget, too, the yesterday's preseason game was performed by guys, none of which you will see in Buffalo to start with, unless there are a bunch of injuries in the game in Germany. So,
well, that's how good the organization is right now. Everybody's winning.
Yeah, it was nice of the Penguins not to have. I mean, it was
not to put Crosby out there.
Yeah, they had some NHL players. I would say it was 100% Rochester Americans against about 80% Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. So,
okay.
But they did have a couple NHL guys in the lineup.
Well, the NHL club is off to Munich and Prague for the Global Series, and we got a couple looks at them, Paul. When you're seeing the differences between the Sabres of the last few years and this version of them, you know, like we hear a lot about accountability. How about structure, pace, power play? You know, actual X's and O's stuff that will be different for this team. What will Sabres fans see differently about this team?
I think you can already see the pace is different, but Lindy Ruff isn't satisfied with it yet. He thinks it has to be better. He felt after the second preseason game or the first preseason game too that if the pace is where he wanted to be, some of the turnovers that you're seeing you won't see anymore because guys will get to the hole sooner and the play will develop sooner. And you won't have the turnover. So he's liked what he's seen in certain cases, but like they weren't ready to play in preseason game number two. They got outshot 13-4. It wasn't good. I had Dennis Gilbert on at the end of the first period, and I could tell how annoyed he was. He just said, "We have a lot of work to do," but they did. That was the thing. You know, Lindy Ruff got him in at the end of the first period. He let him know what they needed to do better, what they were doing wrong. And he talked about it after the game that they did exactly what he said. And they got the energy back. They got the pace back, the speed, the compete, everything. So he liked the fact that they responded to, you know, all right, this isn't the way we play. This isn't, you know, how Sean McDermott will talk about a standard, and now Lindy Ruff talks about it too. This isn't the standard that we're going to set. And he liked how they came back and got to where they were in the first game, and that was, you know, a lot of good hard compete, better pace, but still not happy with the pace. But have guys around the net, which is something this organization has sorely missed since Sam Reinhart left. He was very, very good at it, still is. But ever since he left, the Sabres really didn't have too many people, you could count on one hand, who really wanted to be around the net.
Yeah, I heard Lindy talking about that yesterday, Paul, or the day before, about getting to the middle of the net. I think actually maybe he was answering a question about how the ice is bigger when they play on Friday against the team from Germany. But that is going to be like front net of the rebound opportunities. Like a couple of the goals I've seen in the preseason are just kind of that, right? Like Benson or even last night Wahlberg, like just someone's hanging out in front of the net and there's a loose puck.
Wahlberg is an impressive kid at 19, a power forward. He was a second-round pick, and they traded up to get him. And it was a power play. He was behind the net and around the corner, getting to battles, helping to win battles, found himself behind the net, but didn't stand there and say, well, where should I go? Or, you know what, I don't want to be around in front of the net. I might get cross-checked or I might get hit or something like that. And he just kept moving, kept going, circled back in front of the net, got himself there, and as soon as he got himself there, hey, look, there's a rebound right to me. And I'll just tap it into the empty net. And it was, you know, a lot of people, well, that's a lucky goal. Yes, it is. It is a lucky goal. But you know what? He made his own luck because he just kept going, kept circling back, came out to where goals are scored, the front of the net, and when the luck came his way, he was ready for it. If you're out standing out in the circle or if you're out, you know, on the flank and you don't want to be around the net because, oh, I might get hit or something like that, You haven't made your own luck. You're not there to convert the luck. And, you know, how many times Brian Kozy and I have talked about, well, it's 2-0. One goal went in off the guy's skate, and the other one went in off his knee. But the Sabre, it's kind of funny that the other team gets these goals that pucks are going in off of them, and they don't even see the puck or whatever. But the Sabres aren't getting those types of goals. Why? Because other teams, they go to the net. They go to get those dirty goals, and the Sabres had a lot of perimeter players.
Paul Hamilton on the Sabres. Paul, the latest on Dahlin, good to go? The short-term injury there, nothing to be too concerned about, we hope, right?
Yeah, no, he looked good. He was in a non-contact jersey, but he did everything in practice, and it was a longer practice. So, you know, I watched him rather closely, and he didn't look like he was struggling with whatever that could have been. I was watching his skating. I was watching him handle the puck. He looked just fine. He said he felt fine being out there. He was really enthusiastic about being out there, and he was kind of funny, too, because typical Lindy. You guys will love it. I mean, and it was so calculated because it was a long, hard practice, and the guys, they start stretching. What they do is they get in a circle around center ice, and they get on their knees, and they start stretching. So about 4 or 5 guys start stretching, and Lindy all of a sudden goes, "Nice try, guys. Get over here. We got another drill to do." And he takes them over to the erase board and, you know, does another drill, a rather hard drill. So then he gets done with that, and he's down in the corner, and he brings them all in. I was going to yell at him. I thought he wasn't happy. He decides, all right, we're going to have Samuelson take a slap shot from the goal line, full ice. And if he scores, practice is over.
Yeah.
And we're all sitting there, oh, you picked Samuelson, huh? And we asked Dahlin, he goes, did you think Samuelson was going to score? He goes, absolutely not.
And a slap shot had to be a slap shot?
Yep, slap shot, and he put it right in the center of the net. He couldn't have centered it up any better. He scores. They all go wild, and that was the end of practice.
On one more thing on Dahlin, I saw your tweet about this, that he's not focused on the captaincy. There is no doubt, right, that this is the team's captain?
There's no doubt in my mind. I felt for a while now that he would be the captain. And Lindy Ruffin, rightfully so. I mean, he got to know some of the players by phone, and some of them were around. So he got to know them a little bit. But he wanted to see them and, you know, here in practice. Now, unfortunately for him, he didn't really get to see Dahlin for more than 5 minutes in practice. Until yesterday, and I'm sure there was nothing he would have seen yesterday because Dahlin worked extremely hard in practice that would have made him think, you know, well, that's really not the guy for the captaincy. But he just wanted to get around the team a little bit. So it wouldn't surprise me if they make the announcement in Germany or, you know, let me put it this way. I will be surprised if there's not a captain name before the first game. So it wouldn't surprise me if when they're in Germany that they might do it.
The way camp's gone and these games have gone, Paul, would it be locked into you at this point that Zach Benson's going to be top six to start the season?
Yeah, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be. I think he has fit very well into that line with Cousins and Quinn. They've got a couple of goals, and he's been in the middle of the reason why. I mean, he scored one. He made a beautiful pass for another. He's competed hard in the corners, behind the net. He even competes harder now than I think he did last year. And it seems like he's in the middle of getting bounced around a lot, too, and he just stands there and laughs at everybody. It's kind of funny, actually, that, you know, they think that, you know, this guy, we're going to try to get under his skin, and he just stands there and laughs as they're pulling his helmet off or throwing him or trying to throw him around or whatever. And I think he's a little bit stronger this year, too, to be quite honest. He looks a little bigger to me. And that wouldn't surprise me as an 18, 19-year-old to be able to, you know, come back bigger. And it wouldn't surprise I don't know. I don't think he might be a little bit taller, too. So, you know, I don't know if he's done growing either up or, you know, with muscular either, but he does look like he put the work in during the summer.
Something we'll talk about throughout the season, I'm sure, Paul, especially the early stages. Like, is there any one player? And we talk about Benson here. We're talking about Dahlin. Like, everyone's still getting to know Lindy and what it's going to be like to play for Lindy. Is there any one player you're most interested to see how it goes for him?
You know, we just talked about Benson, definitely. I think, you know, Jack Quinn, if he stays healthy, and you can just tell right off the bat that, you know, he's a smart player, he's a special player, he's got a phenomenal shot, and I just think he's going to be a 30-goal scorer. If he can keep himself healthy, I think you're looking at a 30-goal scorer. I'm very, you know, what's Peterka going to do?
Yeah.
You know, where does he land? Is, you know, he had 28 last year. He was one of the few players that showed good improvement last year, and he had 28. So where does he fit in as far as is there more to come? Can he get to 30, 35, 40? You know, what? Because the one thing Lindy talked about with him is that the thing they're trying to work on with him is his play without the puck. That, you know, he said he likes the way he works and he likes how hard he works. And, you know, he said he's very, very dangerous shooter and the whole thing. But, and he said the one thing that he feels he has to work on is when his play away from the puck. And if that improves, I think his goals will improve too. Peyton Krebs, where does he fit in right now? Right now he's centering Kulik and Rusick. So right now he's on the outside looking in. Does that change? And what happens when he does get his opportunity? I mean, you're not going to go all year without injuries. The Sabres did pretty good without injuries for a while last year, but then all of a sudden they hit. Or I'm sorry, it might have been the year before. And last year they hit training camp with Quinn. So, you know, I think I'm very interested to see where Krebs fits in, where Zucker fits in, but especially Krebs when – the opportunity finally comes for him, where's that going to go? I mean, and he did play one preseason game. They didn't have Tuck play, and he slid into Tuck spot with Thompson and Peterka. And I'm trying to think. I believe that was the game where he had a goal and an assist.
Paul Hamilton on the Sabres, who season fast approaches, the big teams in Europe and the prospects, and a lot of the younger guys will continue to play. The next game is tomorrow in Ottawa. Thanks, Paul.
No problem, guys. Take care.
Paul Hamilton, his appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. When we return, Albert Breer says a new Belichick contender could emerge. Jeremy and Joe, happy Wednesday. Albert Breer suggests the Jaguars could be a sneaky landing spot for Bill Belichick.
All right. I approve of the term sneaky here on this, because doesn't that also feel like the organization that might be willing to give him like full power?
Yes. Trent Baalke's been there forever, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And the owner, I mean, I don't know. Something about ownership there just strikes me as they like the big flashy thing. And if we turn over the whole organization to Belichick, what do they want? They want credibility, right? Isn't that why they brought Urban Meyer in the first place? They wanted the big idea that looked credible, and then that ended up being as far from that as possible.
I guess Baalke's not been with Jags as long as I thought. 2020 is when he joined.
Okay.
Four years as GM.
Still 4 years. There have been a lot of stories about him, though.
Yeah.
Jacksonville. That's assuming Peterson will get fired, which I think I'm okay thinking he is going to get fired. Middle of the season or at the end of the season? Like, is there any coach in the league you would feel more confident, oh, that guy is in his final year as coach, than Doug Peterson?
Is there anybody I'd feel more confident in about that?
Anyone you would say more likely, like, this is it. This is their final year as that team's coach, other than Doug Peterson. He might be number one. McCarthy?
Sirianni.
McCarthy's a good answer.
Sirianni's a good answer, too, I think.
Yeah. I had another name I was going to get to, like Dennis Allen.
But they look great.
They do look great, but if their offense looks great, and they have to make a choice between losing that guy.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, what do you get by...
I know, but if they make the playoffs, they're firing the head coach?
I don't know if they'll make the playoffs.
I would respect the hell out of it if they like got in and then fired the defensive coordinator to not let the offensive guy get away. Teams just don't really do that often.
All right. Good times, good times. We had something else we were going to get to. What was it?
The Belichick thing. There's a good Doug Farrar tweet about the Bills in motion.
Okay.
It's everything, all the motion numbers and yak, like all right. It's all looking great for the Bills.
Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550 to check in with us here on WGR.